Welcome to Now. What steps can our country take to make us truly safe? Here's a not-so-happy thought. Did you know that on 9/11, one of the hijacked aircraft heading for the World Trade Center flew directly over a nuclear power plant located just up the river that way? Just how safe are these facilities from terrorist attacks? Since 9/11, much of the information that would help answer that question is now classified, and what we do know is not reassuring.
Back in January, we met Rochelle Becker, believe it or not, a grandmother from San Luis Obispo, California. She was taking on a nuclear power plant some 13 miles up the road. She was concerned that Diablo Canyon was not adequately prepared for a terrorist attack.
There's ways to fly in, there's ways to hike in, there's ways to drift by. If I can come up with 10, 12 scenarios, and I don't even own a squirt gun, I would imagine somebody that really wants to do some damage can figure out how to do it.
The threat of terrorism is still very real at Diablo Canyon and at nuclear plants across the country.
Al-Qaeda and the groups that support it are still the most lethal threat we face today.
A month after our broadcast, FBI Director Robert Mueller shared his security concerns with the Senate, and nuclear plants were high on his list. Then just last week, this man, Ahmed Omar Abu Ali, was convicted in federal court for aiding Al-Qaeda, having taken orders from a top operative to scout nuclear plants in the United States. And last month, three members of an alleged terrorist group were arrested in Australia, their apparent target, the country's only nuclear power plant. Police say that when the suspects were found near the reactor, a lock had been cut on the plant's access gate. Back in January, we spoke to Michael Weber of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. He told us about the government's new security standards for nuclear plants, requiring stronger defenses, more guards, and more guns.
NRC has worked with national experts after 9/11 to develop our security requirements, and we're quite confident that those security requirements are appropriate to protect the public.
But a watchdog group, the Project on Government Oversight, had been informed by government intelligence reports that those standards were not adequate.
We know from talking to insiders that various intelligence analyses show that these plants should be protecting against a much more threatening scenario than the one that they're currently required to defend against.
This past summer, Congressman Edward Markey, a Massachusetts Democrat, drew up tougher security standards for the plants to follow. The NRC supports some of them. The rules they propose this fall would require plants to anticipate smarter adversaries with more powerful weapons. But the number of attackers that plants must anticipate has not changed. It was far less than the 19 involved in the 9/11 plot, according to watchdog groups. And the NRC's standards still don't require nuclear plants to defend against a 9/11-style attack from an airplane, as Congress recommended. The NRC says that airport and airline safety procedures adopted since 9/11 are the best defense. What's more, and we're not saying anything that terrorists don't already know, nuclear plants are especially vulnerable to attack in one area.
There's heavy, thick, steel-reinforced concrete walls over the reactors themselves. But between the reactors sits the soft underbelly of the nuclear industry, and that's the spent fuel pools.
After nuclear fuel is used up in the reactor, it's hot and radioactive. So when the fuel rods are taken out of the reactors, they're placed in deep basins of cooling water, known as spent fuel pools. Those pools lie outside the steel-reinforced containment domes that house the reactors. The fear is, if terrorists were ever able to drain the cooling water from the pools...
You don't have a blow-up, you don't have a meltdown. What you have is a fire that you can't contain that is full of radioactive smoke.
The NRC told us that the pools were well protected.
We ensure that the combination of safety and security measures is adequate to protect that spent fuel.
But 3 months after he said that, a study by the National Academy of Sciences confirmed the neighbors' fears. 18 expert scientists criticized the NRC's plan to protect spent fuel pools, saying their effort has not been sufficient to adequately understand the vulnerabilities and consequences of terrorist attacks. Back at Diablo Canyon, the plant's spent fuel pools will soon be filled to capacity. so the plant's owner wants to build another storage facility on the site. But the proposed location, a hillside facing the Pacific Ocean, worries Rochelle Becker's group, Mothers for Peace. They want the NRC to consider the risk of terrorist attacks in its environmental review. But the NRC has refused. The NRC argues that the possibility of terrorism at any one facility is too remote and speculative to be considered. They say they've already dealt with the terror threat in their oversight of plant security. So the mothers took them to court. During oral arguments this fall, one of the judges questioned the NRC about their rationale.
I don't understand really what's so remote and speculative about the possibility of a terrorist attack. I thought that we were being warned all the time about the possibility of a terrorist attack. Isn't that what we get told constantly by the government?
Not by us, necessarily.
By the president. Does your agency want to tell the public that it's remote that there will be a terrorist attack?
It is not reasonably foreseeable, Your Honor. That is it. That is our position, that there will be a terrorist attack at Diablo Canyon or at any specific nuclear plant.
That is a logic that leaves the Mothers for Peace distrustful of the NRC.
We have to speak up, and we have to speak up every single day.
It's one reason Rochelle Becker believes the public has an especially important role in protecting the country from terrorism.
It's always the public watchdog. There is nothing more important to a democracy than the public looking out to protect themselves.
We've posted more on all three of these stories over on our website, pbs.org. And that's it for now from New York. I'm David Brancaccio. We'll see you next week.